Hello, welcome to URL. Tis I, Courtney Miller, the host at this podcast, all about the internet and the people on it. And it's honestly just a big playground in our walls, because Wi-Fi is in the wires in our walls. I was thinking about that yesterday. Anyway, my guest today is someone I've been holding out on having on this show for so long. My favorite cast member at Smosh. My favorite coworker, no biases included. And also just like a dork, Shane Topp. Sorry, I had to hit you with a mean thing.
Wow, too. Yeah, that was a lot.
Shane, welcome to URL.
Hi, Courtney. Wow, thanks for having me.
Wow, he's so nervous for this episode.
I actually have been anticipating this. Like when you guys told me like a couple months ago, like, okay, we're going to do URL at this time, whatever. I was like, okay, like
rare in a guard.
I don't know. It feels like a lot.
It's so crazy because it's not. It's just silly.
I know, but it's also it's I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I'm, you know, at the end of this, I might decide you're not allowed online or not. Who knows?
Honestly, that would probably be good.
Be good. But you're so good for the internet.
Me doing this stuff and that being posted on the internet is one thing, but me not being allowed to go on the internet spare time,
yes,
maybe would be good.
We talk about that here a lot.
We do talk about that here a lot.
And in life. So you're the first person to do URL with me on our new set.
I mean, it probably, for people watching, it looks similar, right?
Pretty similar, but kind of nicer. Our windows are in different places. The walls are like a different shape. It was more of like a flat. Like a square set that you're looking into, but
big.
Now we're, yeah, we got angles and stuff.
Got all these angles. It is probably the coolest set on Smosh.
Thank you. I was not expecting it to look this good when I gave them the ideas.
Our team went nuts. I don't know where they found this shit.
I'm obsessed with it.
Seeing that Mac brings me back. Those are the ones we used in computer lab in elementary and middle school. I think it was like fifth grade or fourth grade. I came home and I was like, yeah, our computer lab got shut down early. We were given an assignment where we were supposed to use Google.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to all research an animal.
Wow.
And it was really cool. And I was like, yeah. And something happened where one kid, they had to shut down the computer or something. And my mom was like, what animal was he researching? And I was like, oh, a beaver. And I was like,
oh,
there we go. There
Googling
we go.
Googling beaver be like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Probably before they could really put restrictions on a computer.
Wow. Yeah.
So I don't know what that kid saw.
Probably some beaver.
Probably some beaver.
Poor guy. It can be jarring. I've talked about like my first time Googling things.
Googling
and
boobs.
How it really is. The images are still burned, seared into my brain of like the first penis.
Yeah. I remember for me, it was because I was like on Ebom's World or some website like that. And it was an ad that popped up that just had like two naked ladies. And I remember just being like, I was like scared because I was like on the family computer. And
yes.
I was like, oh no, is that ad that appeared going to give this computer a virus?
No, I know. Even if it's just there, even if you don't click on it.
I was so scared.
I felt the same way. Shane, we actually haven't talked about this a lot. Like, we've talked about your video games and your TV stuff growing up, but we really haven't talked about like your first days with computer access and internet access.
Yeah.
So I need to know, what was the situation? I know your brothers are a lot older than you, but you guys had to have had, you said, a family computer.
We had a family computer. We had one as long as I really could remember. And I'm talking like the old school. Like in Virginia,
was it this big?
Honest to God, yeah, it was kind of fucking massive.
I guess when we're so small, that's
it was
how it feels.
Huge. It was like those big, you know, gray computers, like the old school Macs,
or the screen part
PCs.
Was like just the big pizza box with like a bigger thing on top. It was so crazy.
The
looking.
PC was massive, and then the monitor was this big hunking thing.
Hunking,
and we had it in one of those big desk like corner units, right?
Whoa.
That had like that was designed for a computer. And I remember I never was allowed to like use it, right? Because I was a little kid. But I remember my brother Chris would be playing like Heroes of Might and Magic 2 on it.
Whoa, what game is that? What's that?
One of the fucking best games of all time.
Okay, ow.
Frankly, the best games ever freaking
made. What kind
of
game was it? Was it?
It's like an RPG sort of, kind of hard to explain, like strategy RPG.
Wow, it probably would be easier to explain if it was actually cooler.
It is one of the coolest games ever. Heroes of Might and Magic 3 was more my jam, but Heroes of Might and Magic 2, you can't even like find a place to play it anymore. It's so old school. You would choose like a type of kingdom, right? You could be like undead. You could be like orcs and trolls kind of vibe. You could be like swamp creatures.
Wow.
Humans was one. And you kind of build up your kingdom. And then you travel around as like this hero and you get into battles and it's like a grid system battle, kind of like chess.
Whoa.
Where you have your
cool
minions. It was so cool. Friggin' awesome. Anyways,
so Chris would play that.
I would be watching like my brothers play that. Mm-hmm. And so I never got access to it. And it wasn't until I was like, I don't know how old I was, when I think it was like Roller Coaster Tycoon, Sims.
Sims 1 you played?
Oh, I played so much Sims 1. Sims 1 is what I played the most of.
Really?
And I was jamming on that.
Were you making houses and shit?
I was really trying to like advance a career and like beat the game kind of thing. And
of course.
I played it off and on over the years. And then I remember I had one playthrough where I really got like successful. I think I made him an actor.
Wow.
Because I think I was like maybe 12 at this time.
Yeah, and, it's
and
like,
I was like, I'm going to be an actor.
It's you.
And
yeah.
So I did that. But then he moved his way all up the actor route and then moved over to politics, I think.
Whoa. Yeah, because there's a choice.
Because you have a choice
over.
To switch to a different career. So I did that. Pretty much got as far as you could.
So does that mean you're going to be a politician one day?
Absolutely not. No. Hell no.
Okay, so those are the games. But what about when you started getting online?
Okay, so I distinctly remember there was two avenues where I remember being introduced to internet stuff. And one was my brother, our computer. This was more like in Arizona. So I'm probably like 10 years old.
And it's crazy that I've been in that house. It's
10 to 13.
It's crazy that I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, my childhood home in Arizona. And then actually another place where I really got introduced to a lot of internet stuff was I would go visit my grandparents in the summer in Florida.
Right.
And they had a next door neighbor who had a kid my age. And we would hang out all summer long. And he was constantly showing me stuff on the internet that he found.
What was he showing you?
Just random videos or like there was like a thing. What was it called? It was like kind of an animation website where you could kind of make stick figures and kind of make quick animations, and we would constantly just make the most fucked up stuff. Yes, pivot.
Whoa, so sex ones on the right.
Oh, well, yeah, duh.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Actually, no, they're just spelling the word pivot.
No, but mind you, it's like, all right, I'm 11 and we can animate these stick figures. What are we going to do? And it was like 9 times out of 10, it's like, we're going to make a guy jacking off. Like, that's because it's like, what do you animate? I'm stupid. I'd be like, oh, he does a backflip. Then he fucking jacks off. Like,
insane.
Whoa, what do we make him do a backflip while he's jacking off?
Florida man makes stick figure jack off.
Yeah. But then I remember my brother showing me E-Bombs World. I think it was him who showed me E-Bombs World, or maybe it was my friend. Someone showed me E-Bombs World, and that was like, I remember that was my big introduction to like the internet and like
and
videos and comedy and just, whoa, insane stuff. I remember the first videos that I really watched was the G.I. Joe dub videos. Those are.
Oh, yeah. And you showed me those very
ingrained.
Early Smosh days.
Yeah, you had never seen them.
I'd never seen any of them.
Oh, those
Body
were ingrained.
Massage.
Friggin' pork chop sandwiches, that entire fucking video.
That one's messed up.
I could probably.
There it is, right there.
I could probably like dub along with it.
Yeah.
You're not cooking. Yeah. Pork chop sandwiches. Oh shit, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing? Go, kids, get the fuck out of here, you stupid idiot. We're all dead. Get the fuck out. My God, did that smell good?
Yeah, you did.
Wow, God, that's so good, Shane. Hell yeah.
I love
you
those
showed
videos.
Me all of those.
Yeah.
You showed me a lot of great things that I didn't know about.
I showed you so many cool things.
So many amazing pieces of art.
I can show you the world. And it's just dubbed G.I. Joe videos.
It's not just dubbed JoJo videos.
JoJo?
Okay, yes, love this.
Yeah, that shit was great. And then I think it was like I started getting introduced to more like content creators. And the ones that I really remember early on was Bratz and Beretta.
Yes.
And those were the first like online comedians that I was just like, whoa, this is so funny.
Yeah.
And then I remember I found like Britannic, Why Does Kids You Know, a lot of the stuff was posted online, just kind of everything. And then it would be random videos, you know, the viral stuff.
Oh, random videos were the best.
Random stuff. I remember the one that early on, it was that Russian guy who tries to throw a log and he accidentally knocks himself out. That
Hell
was a
yeah.
classic.
That is a classic. That is your humor.
Oh, yeah. No, it's 9 times out of 10. It's just someone getting hit with something.
Yeah.
And that stuff's always funny.
It is very funny.
And TikTok now just does that stuff all the time again.
Yeah, and it is so wild seeing like old videos coming back with new life as if no one's ever seen them before. And I'm like, whoa, like this is in my DNA. I've seen it so many times.
I feel like every time a new social platform starts up, it's mm-hmm. the same vibe early on, right? Where it's lawless, nobody's making money off of it. So they're just, there's no like intention of like getting your, like,
it's just fun.
There's no profession to it, yeah. right? There's no influencers on the platform. So they're just, you're seeing regular mm-hmm. ass people doing regular ass mm-hmm. shit. And it's the best. It's so authentic.
Yeah, I feel like Vine was one of the, like, that app was kind of one of the last where it's like it started as just fun and experimental mm-hmm. and then people started making comedy. And then any app that came out after that, people were just trying to jump on it as quickly as possible to be yeah. the first comedy creator on it.
You're right.
And it's so funny. Yeah, I watched so much Bratz and Beretta when I was younger, and then we both met him at the same time.
We did.
At our callback audition.
And I would say Joe Beretta being there in our callbacks was like a massive reason for me like wanting to sign on and join this. I knew what Smosh was, right? Like everybody did, but I didn't watch a ton of Smosh. And so when I was auditioning, I was like, okay, like, do I fit this brand? Do I fit mm-hmm. this comedy? But when I saw that Joe was in the room, I was like, oh my God, that's one of my like internet heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt I like my comedy style was so similar to him. So I was like, whoa, like, yeah, like this is going to be great.
Hell
and,
yeah.
I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did too, bro. I remember like, I guess Ian and Anthony weren't so certain. I think I talked about this when I had them on. They were not so certain of me. And then Joe
certain
was
of
like, of me. Yeah. Whoa. And then Joe was like, no, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so thanks to him, you know, a lot of things happened. I mean, and then since then, we did so much silly social media when we first started. Vine was like kind of in its heyday. Like it wasn't quite dead yet.
I feel like it was in its sort of decline. Like I think its heyday was before because I started making Vines right when I joined Smosh.
Mm-hmm. You had some pop off though.
Yeah, I had that one that we did in the hallway, but I never really, I was doing it purely because I was like, oh, I need to do this mm-hmm. now that I've joined Smosh. And I never posted on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, anything before I joined Smosh.
Mm-hmm.
Social media was not something that I really utilized that often.
Mm-hmm. You weren't even tweeting, really?
No, I didn't really start tweeting regularly until I joined Smosh.
That's so funny.
I joined Twitter because I was on Disney Channel for So Random, and they kind of encouraged us because it was the only social platform
right.
really around at the time. And it was like, yeah, it's a way to like promote yourself and like whatever. But because I was on Disney from the gun on Twitter, I was like keeping it really PG.
Mm-hmm.
And like my humor kind of always kept in that realm because I got so used to that. And it eventually got out of
it. Yeah, boy, did that change.
But social media still to this day is not something I instinctively mm-hmm. use. I think because partially it from the start was always a professional device. I'm like, oh, this is a form of me entertaining people. This isn't like my own personal. I've never had social media that I've really used personally, like as an actual social app, right? It's supposed to be for communicating with your friends and sharing things with your friends, mm-hmm. but I never used it in that way. So I think for me, it's always been more of a pressure device or like another form of work.
Yeah.
In a fun way, like less pressure than here
mm-hmm.
of just like, oh, this is for dumb jokes and for being silly.
It is crazy too, because as Smosh has grown to, like, it was huge when we first started, mm-hmm. but it was kind of like we were just these little actors that were hired on, and like social media still felt like a playground for me. And then Smosh has grown to be what it is now. The pressure does build where it is different. Like joining Smosh was like my own little micro version of people who were added to the Marvel universe late, where it's like you're just kind of adopted into a fandom that is going to have so many feelings about you, and you're being perceived in a way that you couldn't have anticipated.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I feel like the bigger we've gotten, I feel like the less you post almost.
You know, like I don't post a lot. I think really kind of comes out of insecurity. Like I often, with Instagram, I'm like, you'll see, like, I'll have a photo or I'll be like, oh, I should do like a photo dump. And I'll be like, I have no photos and I don't look good in any of these. And I'm like, or I'm like, these aren't funny. Like, what's the purpose of this photo? Mm-hmm.
You don't want to, you're not like a vain person. You're not somebody who's like, here's this amazing thirst trap. And also, so I literally like, I take so many pictures of Shane. I take so many pictures of you. And I started to just like send them to you. I think I made a shared album mm-hmm. so that you can have access. But yeah, I like, it's so funny that whenever you do post, it's awesome. And you do, and I love that you do a bit. Like, we have to talk about why you did the banana bit in the pandemic. Yeah. Or was it the pandemic? Or
that
was before
the pandemic. That was at Defy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the sitting and staring against the wall bit was during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I have these long-running gags that I do on Instagram, but it's actually because I really am so bad at Instagram that I don't know what to post or what to do or how to entertain people. So I find a bit and I'm like, oh, this is funny. I'll keep building on this for a whole year. So it actually kind of comes more out of laziness.
You're so good though, because it goes crazy.
Yeah, I think it's fun to have an inside joke with people. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not taking it too seriously. And
what was the banana idea?
Where it usually starts is I haven't posted on Instagram for a couple months and I go, oh shit, like I should post something. I don't want this app to just fully die.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be active and show people I'm on there still. And then I think that one I was like, let me just post a selfie, but am I just going to post a selfie? Let me hold some bananas. And that'll be funny because why am I holding bananas? And I start with that. And then I'm like, all right, well, what if I add more bananas far in the background and people will start to notice that there's more bananas in the background? And I let it just keep building and I keep getting weirder and weirder with it. And I find ways to one up it. Same with sitting against the wall. And then falling down the stairs got really fun.
That was really fun.
It was fun. It was painful, but it was fun.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Only 6 broken bones?
Yeah.
Just the same leg over and over and over. No,
yeah.
We're kidding.
I'm down to explain our system.
Yeah.
Because people
give
think,
it away, the
people
secret?
Don't know. I think we should.
It
should
really explain. Looks like you're fucking eating
well,
shit on the stairs.
I think
it
like,
does.
Yeah, it really does. And here's the thing. It's there.
That's the way your shirt changes for summer
I
games.
I change shirts mid-fall. Here's the thing. It's not like it isn't painful, though, what I do. Some people have figured it out.
Really?
I've seen some comments being like, okay, I think what he's doing is this. A lot of people are like, oh, are you literally falling down the stairs? No.
We do commit to bits really hard that
way. I do commit. I would if I could.
We're scared of stairs. We are.
I am scared of stairs.
Yeah, we both.
Stairs are scary. Mundane things are actually the scariest things we interact with every day. You know that I'm like, when I'm in a car, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yes, statistically, this is where you're going to die. And same with stairs. I'm like, stairs? Dude. Gravity. Gravity's going to get you. People are scared of sharks, bears. Gravity. Falling is what's going to get you. Heavy machinery, animals. Like, there's some things where it's like, hey, just keep your distance. Because people underestimate those things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah, sorry.
What I'm doing with the stairs is you're at the bottom of the stairs.
Yes.
With the camera. And I hold onto the railing with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
It is an impressive feat, I will say. I'm not falling down the stairs, but I think it's impressive. I hold on to the railing with one hand, and then I truly just wriggle around like as much as I can. You'll be at the bottom of the stairs, you'll be like, okay, go wild. And so I'm just there just like, ah.
Yeah, and first I used to just take a bunch of photos. I was so proud of that, by the way. Because remember we were trying to organically like pose, and I was like, hold on to the rail and then just be flailing.
Yeah.
And first I'd just take a bunch of pictures and hope that it looked good. And then we started just filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I would take screen grabs because that would make it look more like motion blur.
Yeah.
And so but now I have videos of you holding onto a rail and going.
And as you can see, my full buttocks is not even on the step. I am like,
the
step is right here. It's jamming into me. So in ways it might've been less painful to just roll down the stairs. That does hurt. And I tried a lot of different positions throughout the posts.
Yeah, we wanted to change it up because I didn't want people to figure it out.
No.
I was like, we should try like sitting the other way or have your legs above you. Like,
yeah.
Let me look at this one. These are so crazy. These are so crazy.
The one
it
where
was
I'm
the cat.
On my stomach. That one hurt. Trying to do it on my stomach was hard.
Yeah, it would be like, okay, go. And then he's just wiggling around, especially when we started adding props.
Yes, because we threw the books. We had the stuffed animal that looked like bones. That's
our favorite prop.
Like, how can I top that? Like, once we did that, I was like, I need to find a new bit. So that one where I was on my stomach, you know, I wrapped a belt around my ankle.
Oh, yeah,
ankle.
We were getting experimental.
I wrapped a belt around my ankle and the friggin' railing. And so I was just held on.
Here's another one.
Yep. You're throwing the fruit at me.
I know. I was filming. I was holding the fruit.
It was awesome. No, we do full practical.
Yeah, I love going practical.
And I think that's something that I am proud of. And it's not because I'm stupid and don't know how to do Photoshop. I love practical effects. And when you're seeing something on my Instagram, it's real.
I'm amazing at both, and I choose practical.
And I choose practical. I've opened up Photoshop and said, you know what? I've got this figured out. I don't need it.
Don't need it.
I do practical effects. I'm like John Carpenter of Instagram. Yeah.
No, but whenever you do post content, people love it.
I know. But I think that's also added to the pressure now.
But like, when will it ever be fun?
It is fun. When I have a good idea, it's fun. But it's hard for me. And I'm not someone, you know, that I am constantly like, every week, there's a conversation where I go, I'm going to start taking more photos. I just need to get more in the zone of making that a habit because it is not in my instincts at all.
I mean, that's the crazy thing I think it's more common than not. Like, we never take pictures when we're hanging out with people. Like, we'd be hanging out with YouTubers that if they saw us together, they'd be like, what the heck? Didn't know that they were spending time together like this. Like, because I forget to take pictures, and I think it's good to just want to be in the moment. Like, mm-hmm. we travel, we do so many cool things,
yeah.
And we choose to be in the moment, which is a healthy thing that, like, why would you want to combat that? And it's a hard habit. And also, you see me, my phone eats before I do, and I love food very much. It's crazy that I do that. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that.
You and several of the other cast are, like, healthy about it, right? Where it's not just, like, filming, like, you're at a concert, you're just filming because you're not thinking about it. You take photos because you're like, oh, you have the thought of, oh, I want to share this with people. But you're very good at like doing it and then enjoying it and being in the moment. I just think it's an instinct. I also think like I've mentioned to you, like I want to be better about taking photos of like you when we're out at places.
Being an Instagram boyfriend?
I think it's like a new love language. Right? Like, wouldn't you agree? Like, it's a thing of like, oh, I'm thinking of you and like getting photos of you in a place to like, mm-hmm. so you have that. And especially like getting candids, like candid photos are the absolute best, right? And we're very lucky, I feel like at Smosh, that Brennan is like the like epitome mm-hmm. of getting some good ass candids.
It's true. I think that filming and taking pictures of people has been one of my oldest love languages. Mm-hmm. Like in our older social media, like, dude, my Snapchat story back when Snapchat was like a little safer than it is now.
Yeah.
Like, and because of the early Smosh days, we would just be at the Defy office with nothing to do. So we would just be running around mm-hmm. recording silly stuff. I want to see if I can find the videos that we would record and put on my Snap story where it's like you sitting on the e-board on the ground.
We were just messing around. We're so bored some days.
We truly would. We were required to come into the office at 9 a.m. and we were there till 6 p.m. And there was, if we weren't filming,
we didn't have anything to do. And that is so much harder for me than nowadays when we are working nonstop. Wow.
So this is the kind of stuff we were doing.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. This is as 2015 as it gets.
Yeah.
I would sit on these.
The e-board.
Because I busted my friggin' pinky toe on one at one point when I was standing on it. Because
they would malfunction and like start vibrating and short-circuiting. This is the Defy office with all the props from other YouTube channels in there, and I'm just filming you and saying weird stuff and...
Yeah.
And that was on my Snap story. That was...
Oh wait, why did I go this way?
This is literally my first month because my hair was still dark.
Yeah, you were dyeing your hair.
I was dyeing my hair still, and I think I like stopped.
Why did I go to
stop? I remember telling you to stop.
Were you the one who told me to stop?
I was like, I think it's cool. Don't dye it.
And I was like, okay. Me, this is when I owned, I had like 3 shirts that I just would wear in rotation, and I only had a pair of black jeans and those palladium boots. And I think that's all I wore, like ever.
When your sim is broken.
me saying a meme. When you're this...
Haha, when you are like Sims. Wow. And that's what we would do.
Yeah.
We would just vibe.
And the second part was that I'll just show it on here. Because the second part of this was I closed the door on you and then I let you come out and then you were like,
oh yeah.
Where'd you go?
I used to just like make edits of you guys because I was always filming you guys in Sacramento or all the places, like just being silly and doing bits. And then I would just put it all together and make my own. I was making the first fan compilations of the Smosh Squad. Just say, I beat you guys. I was the first.
Yeah, you really were in so many ways, because I know this gets thrown around a lot. Like, I really think you were the backbone of Smosh so many of those years, because they hired all of us. But I think out of all of us that were hired, and I would say out of so many people at Smosh, like, you are a, like, through and through, like, YouTuber, you
that
know? And,
I
like,
started.
You, like, on camera, it looked like we're all hanging out doing the same thing. But you were really, like, getting a lot of the content. You were editing a lot of things over the years. Like, you were thinking like a YouTuber and being that person behind the camera. And dare I throw this name out there? But, like, I think for the squad, you were kind of... And you may not like this. You were kind of like the David Dobrik, where like you're filming it, like you're making the content. Like, we all were good at getting on camera and being silly on camera, but you were good at going, this is the video idea, and let's get the video and let's film this. And
David Girlbrick. I will take that as a compliment, because there was better days, and like there was a good time. And I'm still a thumbnail of one of those David Dobrik videos, by the way.
Yeah, but there is a skill to it that I think, mm-hmm. especially back then, right? All the technology's advanced, where it's now so easy to make content because the technology is designed for making content. Mm-hmm. But back in 2015, 2016, it was still not quite as simple to just like pull out a phone and make a video. You kind of had to have some know-how about how to design it in a way. And you had that know-how more than the rest of us, certainly more than me. I was never skilled at that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten better, but it's not in my instincts quite the same way.
I'm gonna hit you back, because I might have been the film person, the person behind the camera, but you've always been the idea guy of Smosh. I put it in your accolades, which I didn't even say yet. Like, people don't realize how many ideas at Smosh were from you, whether it wasn't necessarily you seeing it through, but I feel like you genuinely are the idea guy of Smosh. So whenever you had an idea, I was there to film it and help capture it as best as possible. But like, you brought Hide and Seek to Smosh. I feel like you've been someone who's like supported ideas that you really saw the potential in and are now some of the biggest parts of Smosh. And, you know, you also keep so many things going that started somewhere. Like, the podcast has become like something that you never saw yourself doing that. Like, you never saw yourself doing Reddit stories. But like, I have to say, like, I think I might be the person behind the camera a lot of times, or like in that way, but you genuinely, I think you are the idea guy of Smosh, so.
Thank you. I think obviously there's, at this stage of Smosh, there's so many ideas. There's
of course,
so
I'm not saying
stuff,
you're the
right?
only, because goddamn, we have like literally the Avengers of idea people at Smosh. It's amazing, but like, I think you work in a very mysterious way sometimes. Like, you have such a great relationship with everybody at Smosh that when you guys are just talking, like, you're just spouting ideas all the time, and like sometimes they just happen, and like,
yeah,
I think it's really cool that it's not like, because for me, I'm like, guys, I have an idea. Let's plan a meeting where I talk about this idea. But I feel like you really, like, on a daily basis are such a creative person. And I think that's also why social media can be hard for you, because we've both struggled with this. We give so much of our creative energy to Smosh, because we're here full time. It's where we prioritize our time. And like, so yeah, of course we might be tired by the time we get home. Like, you and I both relaunched our YouTube channels last year.
Yeah.
You did more videos than I did. And you did a video about perfection and struggling with perfectionism. And like, I think it's awesome that you took the crack at that. Cause like, you didn't start as a YouTuber. You were an actor who has done a ton of acting, and you still are. But like, I thought it was really cool. You're like, no, I want to like, what was it? It was like, you're like, I want to do the thing. I want to film and edit and post a video myself. And you did it. You've done it all.
I really wanted, that was something that was eating at me for years, like since I started at Smosh. And so I was like, I need to make a YouTube video and post it, just so that I'm like,
that
I can no longer
compilation.
Tell
yeah.
myself that I can make a YouTube video on a technical scale. Cause I think the technical is where I'm really insecure. But honestly, after making the perfectionist video, because I was doing like a perfectionism workbook at the time and I was really working through that. And it's still a very real part of me. After that, I actually hit a point where I was like, I don't know what to do. And I it is still perfectionism of like thinking that in order to post a YouTube video, it needs to be something like worthwhile, but I think I really care about it. I think we're really seeing it now. There's such a difference between holding someone's attention and entertaining them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are really good at holding people's attention, but I'm like, I'm not going to make a video just to hold someone's attention. I'm like, I really want to have an intention of entertaining a person. Like, what is the purpose of this? You know?
Yeah, and you ideally it's entertaining and fun for you.
Absolutely.
And to you, so yeah.
But I'm not going to just make a video just to make a video. Like, I want it to really be fun. And I want to be like, yes, this is what this video is and what it's for. And I care about that, you know? I think... ultimately, yeah, there's no pressure on it too. Like, it's not my job. That would be a hobby.
Yeah.
Whenever I make a YouTube video, that's going to be just me messing around. But I still care about it in like a sense of...
And you're also a responsible human being. You want to put out something that affects the world positively.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I know that about you.
And especially because because if I were to make a video on my own, it's like, well, what can I do besides like hang out and talk by myself, which is so alien to me compared to what we do here, where I don't have people to bounce off of, which is where almost all of my comedy comes from, right?
Agreed.
Working with other people. But I'm also like, okay, if I'm going to post a video, it's like, is it more video essay-like where I'm talking about something that I'm passionate about? But then I'm like, oh man, I never want to say something that, especially if I'm planning it out and like really like entrenching my feet in it. I'm like, this is something I believe in, you know, because with so many shows like Smosh Mouth and Reddit Stories, we're talking, but it's kind of fresh reactions.
Yeah, it's raw and impulsive almost. Like,
yeah, and you know that I'm someone who I'm constantly doubting myself. I'm constantly changing my views on things. But if I were to post a video like that, I'm like, oh, I'm really making like a statement about something. And I care about that.
I think it's good that you care about that. But even then, like, I think it's... we are in a world where it's like, we, even if you are a perfect content creator, some people just want to see you fail and will find something wrong. Or you can't, I know that I'm going to have different opinions years from now that I've, of things I've said. But I also like with the, just talking to the camera, I am so bored when I'm editing videos of myself just talking to the camera. I've done videos that I'm like very proud of where I talked about like how I used to have horrible, horrible cystic acne and being on camera at Smosh and what that was like for me to get through. And I was so bored with the edit. I was like, I need to go find like old Smosh sketch footage to like put over of like what I'm referring to and just make it, because it was so, because I love vlogging and like that's why Smosh second channel at the time and all those vlogs that we've done are way more interesting to me because you're moving around. Stuff's happening.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's also part of the show. It's not always fun.
It's hard, man. I have so much respect for YouTubers who do it on their own, like, and are by themselves making the stuff. Like, I'm absolutely captivated by people like Drew Gooden and Jenny Nicholson. I'm just like, man, that's impressive as hell to me.
Is there any clips or social media or videos that you don't send me?
I don't really think I send clips to people that much.
Really?
What do you mean? Like clips, like...
like sending funny videos?
Oh, funny videos? Oh, I mean, I think Spencer and I send each other. Spencer's kind of the king of just sending... He's got a forum with everybody going.
He's a dealer.
He's sending me all sorts of stuff because I don't go on Twitter anymore, but he'll send me funny tweets. And that's what I miss the most, right? Because I loved... Twitter was my jam. That's the only one that I actually like enjoyed because some of the funniest tweets of all time. Just singular absurd jokes, and I miss that. And so Spencer sometimes gives me the good shit that still manages to make it on there.
You popped off on Twitter quite a bit.
Oh,
when you
I
were
love
on
Twitter.
There.
Spencer popped off even more. Spencer's good at it.
He was
it.
Like, I think he was like after you. It felt like you, like not saying you guys even had any connection in that. It was just the timing of your heyday was before his heyday on Twitter. I feel
used it a lot, and I loved. Like I was always trying to kind of not imitate, but I was drawing inspiration from all the dumb accounts that I followed that were just posting silly 1 to 2 line jokes.
Yes.
I loved it.
Shall we take a look at the silly tweets of Shane Talk?
Oh God.
Good evening to only dumbasses.
Yeah. See, I loved just throwing shit out like that.
You were the like, nowadays an escape from the shitty things going on online is like, it's so nice to find those. Okay. You ladies better watch out because I'm a bad boy. A bad, bad boy. A bad, bad little boy who just made a stinky. I'm a stinky little poo-poo baby.
I feel like that's more of an Ian tweet. But
what does that mean?
And then before that, I tweeted, it is illegal to tweet. So...
Granny Smith apples are the best apples, and every other kind is an absolute waste of time.
That's just me starting shit.
That's so spicy of a tweet, Shane. Nothing has more forms than milk. Yogurt, cheese, cream, you name it, milk can be it.
Yeah.
Milk can be yogurt? I'm sorry, what? What do you mean by that? Yogurt?
I don't know. Milk can just do all sorts of shit. It's got different forms. It's like Majin Buu. Anyways.
You are my ideal calzone location. Oh, I get it. Yeah. You're my favorite pizza place.
Making fun of that.
That was our first like really, really big catchphrase at Smosh for a long, like in a long time.
And it's
gone
it
now.
It is buried deep within the earth now.
No, but that was like our best-selling shirt for the first time in years. Like that, Shane, when I say you're the idea guy, like, And Ian talks about it too, where it's like Smosh is about taking risks, and that's why we've stuck around for so long. I feel like you've taken the most risks at Smosh.
Really?
Yeah. By just doing a dumb thing, dude. Mm. Throwing yourself down the stairs. That's you metaphorically with Smosh all the time, is committing to a bit, trying something crazy.
I feel like I could say the same for you, though. I think you, out of the entire cast, have been the most vulnerable. Like, you've really put yourself into it at times, and I think that really shows. And...
Whatever. You're so funny.
Shut the f*** up.
And you've been having silly, weird ideas since the very beginning of your existence as a content person, or just not even in your control, because we have to talk about Thora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
You were viral on Tumblr, and you weren't even on Tumblr.
I know.
And I remember seeing this picture before I knew you or was aware of your existence.
It was technically my first viral moment, yeah, on Tumblr.
Thora the Explorer.
And nobody knew who I was. I was a stranger. It's funny because it feels like it's the precursor to Courtney freaking Miller.
You look at that smirk on your face. You have not changed.
So that's at a Chipotle.
I didn't know
and that's
that.
Probably why I'm smirking. I'm excited for Chipotle. You know, that's what I look like whenever I'm walking into Chipotle, or at least back in 2013 when it was good. So it was Halloween, and I'm hanging out with some friends, and Shelby took that photo and posted it on Tumblr, and it went viral.
That's so
it went
crazy.
Straight up viral.
I can't believe that.
I know. It's pretty weird.
Where'd you get the idea to be it for Halloween?
I forget. I think so famously for Halloween, you know this, I'm very bad.
You hate costumes and dressing up kinda.
I'm like, that's our job. I dress up all the time. By the time I'd done So Random, we were in costume every day, every week.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I don't want to dress up because I'll be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was last minute, it was like day of. I was like, I need to figure out an outfit. And I thought of Thora the Explorer. I think it was right around the time that Thor, the first movie, came out.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this is a funny pun. And so I put that together for cheap. And it worked out.
How old were you?
I must have been 20, maybe 20, 21.
Yeah, probably 20 if you're hanging out at Chipotle on Halloween.
Okay. You gotta get a burrito to get yourself energized for the night.
Okay.
Trick or treating.
For a night of trick or treating.
Trick or treating at 20 years old. I don't actually know what I did. I don't remember.
I love hearing the tales of the old days with your acting group.
It was honestly very boring. Like,
but those are the best times when you look back on those boring times with your friends and you're viral on Tumblr.
I know, but it's like being 18 to 20 was such a like, besides So Random, outside of that was such a like weird time because I wasn't at college, so I didn't have like this network of friends. I had a couple good friends, and then I was kind of just like, I was really lonely and I was living in an apartment by myself. And I had a lot of days where I was just like, I don't know what to do if I don't have an audition. That's kind of why I think I stuck with schoolwork and going to college, because it kind of gave me like a thing, a purpose outside of just waiting for auditions.
Yeah.
So I was really bored a lot.
I remember when we first started at Defy Media in 2015 with Smosh, like I was excited. I felt like I was in school again. Like what you're saying, like I have somewhere to go every day at this time and it's a place to sit. That's my place. And like, we have an office again. Like I'm going to have a desk. I'm excited that we have a place where we can go and be creative. I'm not good at working at home and being creative at home. You're better at like, I feel like our environments where we thrive creatively are different.
I think so, but I also don't think I work too well from home. I get distracted pretty easily, and I'm bad at like procrastinating via work. Like I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna write something today. I'm gonna work on something, but then I'm like, oh, I should vacuum the entire house first. I should do all the dishes first. Like because I'm just like, oh, I if I'm being productive, I don't feel bad about it. And you know me, I have a hard time relaxing ever.
Well, it's hard to let yourself be bored, you know?
Yeah. And no, I'm really bad about it. And to go back to social media, like it's really bad because I'm like, oh, I can kind of always have this cycle of this reward trigger in my brain, but I'm never really entertained and I'm never really gaining anything. I'm just kind of like silencing the discomfort in my head. And then I'm like, no, creativity is never going to come because I'm constantly just putting this over it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like actively go, no. It's kind of like we have the one ring in our pocket at all times. And
the one ring.
I know.
Like Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
You throwing that at me right now?
It's kind of like when we're doom scrolling.
When it's like whispering.
When you doom scroll too much, we do become like Gollum. Tell me, look, J.R.R. Tolkien, ahead of his time. He clocked it. Social media. I know it's biblical. But like, it's about social media.
It's all about social media, dude.
It's all about social media. And Aragorn's kind of like an influencer.
Aragorn? You know. Thirsty.
What?
I don't know that. I'm thirsty.
Yo, what the f***, dude?
Yo, what the f***?
What are you saying about Aragorn?
I love him. Hey, I'm the horse.
Who doesn't love Aragorn? Us here at Smosh. We love Aragorn.
Yeah, I feel like I see a picture of Aragorn at least once a week because James is always wearing a picture with him on it.
I know. James kind of dresses like the Chosen.
You know what the Lost Art? Oh, honestly? But instead of all three wolf shirts, it's three Aragorn shirts?
No, like truly, James, one of our cam ops, is always dressed like the Chosen. He's always got one of those like really like legendary like
the faded
artwork.
Almost tie-dye kind of
faded vibe. He wears more like cargo pants, like not cargo pants but like, you know, the like
carpenter pants,
very
pants,
industrial slacks. Grade khaki pants. Yeah. He's dressed practically for any situation
but with a little bit of flair.
He tucks in the shirt
and Aragorn's on it.
He's got Magic the Gathering cards on him at all times.
That's true. Well, you have to here at Smosh.
Yeah.
If you don't have Magic the Gathering cards on you, you get a wedgie or a swirly.
Yeah, we work opposite here.
You better be a nerd or else you're a fucking nerd.
If you're not actively playing Yu-Gi-Oh, you're going to get pushed up against a locker.
We have lockers at Smosh, you know this.
Yeah. We're a high school, essentially.
Actually, though, I did want to talk about this with you. You host a podcast too, and I'm new to it, and you have a co-host. And what is it like hosting a podcast? Something that you never thought, we talked about this earlier, how it's not something you ever thought you would do.
I was really actually very insecure when I started Smosh Mouth. It was earlier time before Anthony came back, and it was kind of thrown to me of like, hey, can you create a podcast? And I was like, well, we should bring back Smoshcast. Like that, what else are we going to do? But let's do it kind of differently. And my big note for it, because it was pitched for me to host it, but I was like, I want a co-host. I was like, looking at the space and especially knowing Smosh, I'm like, this whole thing is built on friendship and dynamics. Mm-hmm. Like nobody wants to watch just one of us all the time. Like, I mean, people are watching you, but—
What's it with a guest?
But I think what people love more than anything here at Smosh is seeing a duo or more than that, like a pairing, a group, like seeing how people work together and bounce off each other it's really started with Ian and Anthony. And I think we've seen over the years, people have their favorite cast members, but nobody's favorite cast member takes precedence over their favorite duo, right? Like people might say, oh, Angela's my favorite cast member, but Angela and Amanda, that's the jam. Or it's like people might say they like me, but me and Damien, like
you and Spencer,
or like, oh, they like Trevor, but they like Trevor and Spencer. Like it's, and all the pairings are so fun. And so I knew that I was like, it doesn't matter who I have as the co-host. Anybody is going to, we're going to build this fun thing. And it landed on Amanda and I was really excited about it. But I remember at the time when we started Smoshcast, I was like, I actually haven't like built that much of a rapport with her on camera. And then we see it kind of develop over time into such an incredible thing that now like we're such a duo and I work so well with her. It's the best. And I love seeing it out there in the space outside of Smosh. Like we talk about Basement Yard all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's just so fun. And especially now I think in what is probably the loneliest time in human history.
Mm-hmm.
To see friendship, to see like social interaction like that is so refreshing, and I think brings a calm to people, and it brings a calm to me mm-hmm. when I see it. And so I think it's such a, it's the right word, like a panacea.
A cure-all?
A cure-all for loneliness, or like the feeling, like a, just a, you know. So I think it's the best. And I think you hosting the show by yourself, I've always watched and been like, I don't know how you do it. I could not do that.
I don't know
at
either.
All. I could not do a show by myself. I would really struggle. And so it's funny that I feel like Smosh is about friendship and, mm-hmm. and you haven't had a friend.
It is true in a sense of like everything else that Smosh does, excluding this show and Spend a Day With, it's very dynamic built. It's cool to have something that is a new challenge for me,
mm-hmm.
10 years into a career of learning how to host something and interviewing people by myself. But yeah, I've definitely learned a lot about why I love this job and why it's always great when the other person on the couch is someone I really know.
Mm-hmm.
Because the audience also feels that too. It's like, oh, I love watching my favorite group of people. I love my favorite dynamic.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love that you and Amanda have grown to have such a strong dynamic together on that show. And yeah, it was funny. Me and Anthony recently reacted to the funeral roast for bonus content for people, and seeing you and Amanda roasting each other was so funny. You did the "you look like shit, smell like
shit."
My
only roast. My only roast for her, and I love it to this day.
It's so cute. I always love when I get to guest on the podcast with you guys.
Yeah,
because you guys got a good thing going.
It's a lot of fun.
No, I've always admired that you and Amanda have that thing that you get to do together.
Yeah,
and yeah, maybe I might like that one day.
But that's what's great is if you have a co-host, you have a complete stranger on, and then you have a co-host who you guys know each other.
Yeah.
And you also get to like build lore there, you know, like Smosh Mouth has built so much lore over the years because it's just like our dynamic and our banter, and that gets to build up and we get to add elements. Whereas every week when you have, it's just you and a guest, you kind of have to start fresh almost a little bit. Like you and your audience have a bit of that lore building, but that familiarity is not there. Whereas, you know, if you had a co-host here, but then you said, say, like Werner Herzog on as a guest, you guys get to like banter back and forth while he's here, like, and then, okay, so what are you doing here at Smosh?
Yes, my
so
dream.
You are not only eating it, but you are also yeeting it.
That's good. Hey, that's a good impression, dude.
We see the lonely Spencer in the corner with his board games, playing endlessly into the night. Now I'm losing it.
It's good.
I'm going to like Game of Thrones territory.
I liked it.
That's my dream guest for your podcast, by the way.
I know. I love that pitch. I passed it on.
Yeah.
I love it.
You mentioned it one night, and I was like, Courtney, you have to get Werner Herzog on URL.
Especially with that viral penguin video.
You guys get Werner Herzog, and then I don't know who we get on Smosh Mouth. It feels like, wait, they're here? Like,
I know,
and
to
not talk about like their legacy. Like, I think there's that clip, and I want to say it's from Conan O'Brien's podcast where Werner Herzog talks about keeping up with the Kardashians.
Oh.
And it's my favorite clip of him of all time because I'm like, his entire career is him talking about these profound things, talking about volcanoes and penguins. And then it's like, oh, but let's have a moment where he talks about, like, he's like, what show are you watching? He's like, I'm watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And he talks about it like it's this existential, insane thing that he's experiencing. Fucking awesome.
I love it.
It's awesome. I'm like, yeah, get them on to talk about what random dumbass videos they're watching on the internet. That's gold. That's somehow so much more human than like all the crazy stuff he's talking about all the time.
Yeah. Good shit.
Good shit, dude.
Have you done a lot of one-on-one interviews?
I think I've only done one. I did Kane Pixels.
Yo!
Dude,
that's
Kane
so
Parsons.
Cool.
And I was so stoked.
And now the movie's coming out.
Because I think you guys have reached out to me before about, like, would you want to interview this person? I'm like, I'm so terrified to be one-on-one. Like, I'm not good in real life one-on-one situations. I don't know what to do. I love a group situation because I feel like there's less pressure on me.
Yes, I'm saying.
But
yes.
You know me. You know that like I am kind of always, I have this pressure of like, I need to entertain the person in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to bore them.
Yeah, that's why we got cats so that, it's not just you and me.
There's a cat.
There's,
I'm like,
cats
Bones.
To be entertained.
Hey, Bones, what do we do here? Like, you and I will be like talking one night and I'll be like, yeah, so anyways, so Bones, what do you think about that? Like, but No, one-on-one situations, I don't feel comfortable. If I had to do this show, what you're doing, I have no fucking clue what I would do.
Really?
I had no idea. I'd be so scared.
Interview me right now. Go.
What's going on?
On the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for having me. What did you want to talk about?
You've used the internet?
So you paid me $50,000 to be here for an hour. This
yeah,
is what you're on.
Your rate is
it's not amazing.
Bad.
I'm a streamer.
Yeah, you're a Twitch streamer, so your rate's crazy.
Should we get some cats in here?
No. do you use Twitter? Oh, it's not Twitter anymore. It's X. So
I don't care. It hurts. It hurts. Okay, I'm done.
Anyways,
I'm done. I'm bored.
Right.
I'm bored.
And
I'm
doing
bored.
A bit. I would do better than that. Anyways, I interviewed Kane Parsons,
yes.
who is doing the Backrooms, who did the Backrooms movie. That's
who is the Backrooms?
Almost, I think it's probably out by the time this airs, right? I've already seen it. I got to interview him before he went off and filmed that movie. And that was so much fun. That was easier, though, because—
You're genuinely interested.
Because I'm genuinely fascinated. I love his work. And I was like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah.
In the best way possible. I loved that interview because I was like, everything he said back to me, I was more confused. And I was like, you're going to make so much weird shit mm-hmm. throughout your life and I can't wait to watch it.
It was like as if you got to, because what is the scary Reddit stories that like you like
creepy
to read?
Creepypasta.
It's almost like Creepypasta became a person and you got to talk to them for
Absolutely.
A bit.
But he's so invested in just like this one realm that he loves and is mm-hmm. building out this weird lore. I'm fascinated by people and I'm so envious, as you know, of people who really aren't doing something for the reaction. They're doing something because they're so
just like enveloped.
Invested
yeah.
in what they're making. And that was him. And that's mm-hmm. so many people that we know, right? I think that's so much of our cast. I think I see that with you when you get into making a video. Like when you were prepping for Anthony's funeral, like you're so just into like, oh, this is what I want the show to look like. And you're just having a blast in it. I think we see it with the cast, like when Amanda or Tommy or Angela get
that
into a character,
state.
Like
yeah.
they're just doing it for the love of the game. They don't care if people think it's funny or not. I live for that because it's hard for me to separate that sometimes. But I think with the help of everyone around me, I'm able to get into that state too.
Yeah. So we've discussed your relationship with the internet in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know now, Shane yeah. Top, what is your relationship with the internet?
It's a mixed bag. I think you know, because I feel like I talk about it day in, day out. I'm trying to really find a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
I am very susceptible to the scroll. And I think,
scrolls.
To the scroll. I must put down the scroll. I'm really bad at just like, my brain loves it. And like, I'll be in line for coffee or I'll be brushing my teeth and I just pull out my phone. I'm just scrolling stuff. And I'm like, what am I even getting out of this?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? And I kind of switch between things. I think Reddit, I do scroll a lot on Reddit because it's so different and it's like articles and it's am I the asshole posts, it's other types of rants. But similar to how Twitter has its own dynamic, I've talked about this a lot, Reddit has a type of cynicism that if you're on it too much, you just start to be cynical about everything. And there's mm-hmm. a lot to be truly cynical about in the world right now, but I mean, it makes you like feel like, oh, there's not a good person in the world, right?
I know.
And you see that and sometimes in the replies when we do Reddit stories, like it is a quick to one action. And it's like, yep, that person's awful. Get them out of your life and divorce, break up, whatever. And sometimes they're justified, but a lot of times it's like that is the response to almost every situation.
It's like dismissal. And
it's just kind of like, yeah. yep, everything's miserable and awful and,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't trust anyone and everything's getting worse and worse.
And it's hard because you want it because sometimes you'll have those nights where it's like, oh, TikTok's really good right now and
yeah.
I'm laughing and you find a bunch of good stuff and it's like you never know that you're going to get that gold without having to dig through the rough.
And I want that so bad. I think TikTok, honestly, like one of the last times I felt like I really enjoyed TikTok was during the pandemic because everyone was stuck at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so
bored.
you just got like a bunch of weird, silly shit. Like, mm-hmm. And I think what happened was it's gotten more monetized. There's TikTok Shop. There's all sorts of stuff that incentivizes people to not create content out of authenticity or fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to hold your attention. And I noticed that with TikTok now more than ever, where I'm like, this isn't entertaining me. anymore. And it's not actually informing me in any sort of like genuine way. And there are real informers on TikTok. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that's not true. But the way the algorithm works is just pushing attention seekers. And there's even things that are good intentions, but the way it's coming through is not beneficial yeah. to me. And I don't think it's as beneficial to people. I notice now, and now on my TikTok feed, at least, I know the algorithm's different for everyone. It's just like, I scroll through and it's just people being like, do you notice how this, and it's like, here's my theory on this. And it's like, I'm just like, oh my God, like we just have to keep elevating it.
Yep.
And there's an old tweet. I forget what the user was, but this is back in like 2019. He's like, oh, we're seeing takeflation.
Takeflation,
where it's like, we have to keep coming
Having
up with
takes.
Bigger, yeah. bigger takes. And what you see now is anything happens, right? Chapel Roan does something.
Yeah, and, or doesn't and, do anything.
And then you see a take, you yeah. see the initial take, but then it's like, no, now we need the discourse on the discourse. We need to keep yeah. elevating it. We need to keep pointing out and new things that nobody else, everybody wants to be the one to come with the new information. Mm-hmm. And you have a bunch of geniuses, but nobody who wants to actually like...
Yeah.
Learn.
The biggest reason I was going on TikTok was just to find some funny ass videos to show you at the end of the day. And then I would just get so lost in it and it just yeah. not even worth it anymore. And so like, I get so sick and tired of ads and people having a take. And I'm just like, I don't know you. I don't know why you're caring about this.
Yeah.
I haven't had TikTok on my phone in a couple months now.
I think probably in the back of a lot of our heads, it's like, oh, I need to stay informed, right? And it's like, yeah, and it does inform you sometimes, but there's also, it kind of was like the criticism I think a lot of us had of our parents, like with like Fox News in the mm-hmm. background, right? Where it's just like, all right, there's the news headline, and then there's just the outrage discourse mm-hmm. that isn't beneficial, that usually just goes down a weird winding path towards nothingness after it. And I notice that with myself sometimes where I'm like, oh, I haven't actually learned a new thing mm-hmm. in like 8 hours of scrolling. And I'm just like, I'm just getting nothing now. And I think it was Eddie Burback said it in one of his videos when he got rid of his phone for a month.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he's like, scroll for an hour and then ask yourself like, what did you just like?
Yeah, if someone were to go like, hey, what did you see? What'd you do?
And you actually wouldn't be able to recollect. You'd be like, mm-hmm. I actually don't know. And I notice sometimes, and it kind of scares me, of like, I'm not actually I'm not gaining anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not remembering what's happening because my brain is not meant to ingest all this different fucking things
yeah.
in such a short span. Like, I'm not being intentional and I'm not sitting with something.
Imagine if we did that though. Like, we like watch a TikTok and then we have to like stop and think about it as if we just like read a poem in a poetry.
But like, yes. I know, and it sounds silly, but like that is how we used to engage with things.
Yeah.
Right? I just feel like we move so fast now. And it's kind of crazy how like Numa Numa was like the thing for a year. Right?
It was a year. No,
Chocolate Rain was like the video for a year
yeah.
or more, right? Maybe like a few years. And we were all talking about that. But nowadays, it's actually kind of fucking twisted that something will happen and we'll go, oh, let's talk about it. The video won't come out for a month. So by the time it comes out, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck are you guys yeah. talking about? That was old news. And I'm like, should we not all stop and think that maybe this is really bad for our brains that we're moving that fast? And that, I mean, to make it deeper, it's like, do we really expect to make any change as a society when we move that fast? Because change
That's
happens
true.
Slow and we can't hold on to anything for a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I don't know. That's what I think. Those are the thoughts that go through my head on the internet.
You have a very complicated relationship with the internet.
The internet now feels like
now.
This big, rushing, rapid river where it's like you throw something in. It's like, oh, well, I'll throw my 2 cents in. It's just like, boom, gone. And
yeah.
you're just like, does it matter anymore? Like,
yeah.
do I affect anything? You also don't know where it's coming from, right? It feels all anonymous. Now with AI, you don't know who you're talking to is real. It's dead
yeah,
internet
it could
theory.
Be a bot, yeah.
Who's a bot? With Reddit and with Twitter, with just about any of it, it's like, who is this person, right? Like, we just did our live show in Denver mm-hmm. for Reddit Stories, and there was a great reply. And the story was about like this couple who was walking through a neighborhood and they criticized a house.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeowner was like outside and overheard them and like they got into this argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
Random story. But in the replies is this person replies and they go, look, I'm a preteen, but I think this behavior is completely unacceptable. And it's like this 11-year-old
yes.
is commenting on this. And it's brought up a lot on Reddit in replies of like, be careful of asking advice on Reddit because you never know when you're getting marriage advice from a 10-year-old. Like, you just don't actually know. And I mean,
Or just someone who has no business in general, even if they've been married many times or like a chronic cheater.
Truly,
you know, you just don't know who at all.
You see it a lot where, like, I think Spencer referred it to it as once as like going all Reddit on them of like when someone like the story is one thing. It's like, oh, there's something going on in the story. That's a problem, whatever. But someone in the comments cranks it up a couple notches. Like, whoa, this person clearly has something from their past that they're unleashing on this. And there was that story that I don't think we read it on our show, but there was a woman who found out that her husband, who she's like, he's the sweet, lovely guy, but he goes on the internet and comments just horrible misogynistic shit on Reddit posts all day. And she's like, I don't know who this guy is. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of people, you know one person, and then they have their internet self where they go and they're anonymous. And what happens to people when they're anonymous? They suddenly are allowed to let their demons out, I guess. So it's weird. And now we're at this place more than ever where we don't have third spaces in real life and there'd be discourse in real life. And it's kind of like, oh, we know who we're discussing things with, but now we're discussing things with not only strangers, but it's like faceless. It's just text. And I think text is, as much as I love reading and we do Reddit stories, I think it's such a, it lacks in communication compared to like in person and like real.
Yeah,
It just doesn't seem like it's not real communication. Nobody is desiring to actually meet each other anymore. I think more than ever, you actually see people
contrarians
on purpose trying to misinterpret.
Yeah,
and it's because people are just trying to like do this now. I see takes online. I see it a lot on Twitter where I'm like, I see his take and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, oh, this is a 14-year-old. And I'm like, you know what? That's a normal take for a 14-year-old. And that's what 14-year-olds get together and they talk about because they're figuring out life and they're figuring out their beliefs. And sometimes like, look, kids, we scoff at them as adults, but I'm like, because you're fresh in this world, like maybe your take is right because you're seeing it from the fresh perspective. But it's like, I, as a 34-year-old man, do not need to be having a discussion with a 14-year-old about something happening in society.
Or anything.
But it's sad that these 14-year-olds don't get to have, like, a real space to just talk with each other.
True.
They're having conversations, and everybody of all ages is just in on the same discussion. I don't think that's productive or good.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you make it safe on the internet? How do you do this? And that's, once again, struggle with it. It's this weird thing that we have now. It's such a change in human history.
Sometimes at the end of the day, you just gotta post a selfie with a banana.
And you just gotta roll down some stairs. I think that's why I try not to take it seriously. I'm like a fresh reminder that I'm like, this is a weird, silly space sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna bring out the cue cards for you.
Oh,
because
shit.
I think it's time people really know.
Really know?
Your little phone habits and your secrets. These are going to be our verifying questions, Shane.
Yeah.
I need to know some shit. And
just
they
so you know,
need to know.
I'm going back silly mode. I gave you some of that serious mode for a bit.
Thank you for blessing us with the serious
Shane. Because, like, you know,
Shane.
I don't do serious mode too much. So I'm just like, so that it's like, that's special to hear. Only here on URL are you going to get that view from Shane. And
okay.
Now we're, just so you know, that's because this is your show and I want to make
it
special.
Wow. Thank you so much, Shane. The brain version of taking your shirt off. For the cameras. You took your shirt off in your brain.
Yeah.
To show something for us here, something special.
I'm taking my shirt off in my brain right now.
Okay.
So I can visualize that.
Okay. Can we look at your screen time? What apps are you using the most? I don't think you look at this very often.
I don't. Screen time. Boom. There we go. All right. Daily average, from this week, how do I see?
Good sound. You keep doing that sound.
Now, listen. Okay. Daily average right now is 2 hours and 48 minutes.
What's your top app?
Top app is TikTok, followed by Reddit, followed by Instagram. Steep drop off. TikTok and Reddit are the ones.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it's bad. I'm trying to, but I'm.
I feel like you're not, but like, how long are you on TikTok? It's not a lot.
Yeah, it's saying 2 hours for TikTok, 2 hours for Reddit.
A week or a day?
Probably more close to like a day, I would just.
It should say it in front of you.
It doesn't
Don't
say.
Don't lie. These are the verifying questions.
Daily average is 2 hours and 48 minutes, though.
So I don't, and I also don't know.
Total screen time, 8 hours, 26 minutes. But is that for this week? Because it's only Tuesday. Okay, starting on Sunday. Okay, yeah. So Sunday through Tuesday. So that's 8 hours and 26 minutes total this week.
On TikTok?
On just my phone.
Okay, I was asking you how long you were on TikTok a week or in a day.
So I think TikTok for this week is 2 hours and Reddit is 2 hours.
Thanks.
I think, based on what I'm looking at here. Because I have limits on TikTok and Reddit.
That's
now.
Right.
It's like an hour.
In Reddit too?
Yeah, for both. Because those are the two that I yeah, do too much of.
Okay, what was your most recent Google search, Shane?
Cats meowing immediately after food. Because this morning, the cats were immediately meowing. I fed them. And then they were meowing as if I did not feed them. And I was like, is something wrong? And I was like, no, you guys are jackasses and you're trying to trick me.
They are trying to trick. They've been trying to trick us lately.
They're just, they fucking love food, man.
And they don't get as much carbs because they're all wet food to be healthier. Read the oldest text message on your phone.
The oldest? How do I go?
Scroll. Stop, drop, and scroll.
I think this goes on forever, bro. This goes on so long. I'm into 2011.
Whoa. He doesn't text very often.
Okay. Oh, Damien texted a photo. This is in December 24th, 2011. He goes, can I pull off this red leather jacket / hoodie combo? And I go, hell yeah, that looks sick.
He sent a pic?
Yeah, he sent a pic. I can send this. It's me, Matthew Scott, and Damien. And Matthew Scott then says a world of yes.
A world of yes. Love the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Group chat. Matthew Scott Montgomery from
save that. I can
the three
it,
so randoms.
And then Matthew Scott said, buy it before I do.
What a good friend.
I know. We were we're all so supportive of each other. But that is from 2011. So
holy
that's the oldest
shit.
Photo. That's a good one. Thank God. I don't know what else it would have been.
That's awesome.
Glad it wasn't something negative.
I thought you were going to say something naked.
Something like me just sending a naked photo in 2011. No, I never, never did that. Never did that.
Okay, I'm going to pick a date and you're going to show me a photo in your camera roll from that
Jesus.
Date. Because you can, in the search bar, you can kind of search the date.
Okay.
We're going to do June 19th, my birthday.
Okay.
2011.
I don't know if I have that. Hold on.
You search 2011, see if you have it. Right, I don't know, right, probably right, not, because right, we didn't right. have iPhones really. Right. I barely had an iPhone back then.
2011?
What's the oldest photo in your camera roll? Wait, I saw this recently. Sorry, I'm bouncing around right now. He recently let me go look at his oldest photos.
So
in his phone.
I think this is from 2011. This is the oldest photo in my phone, and it is of my grandparents' backyard. They've passed away, and we sold this house, but this is their backyard in the middle of winter, and it's a magical place.
Winter Wonderland.
This is in Colorado, and it's just this gorgeous backyard that so many memories. But, you know, I don't take many photos. So, like, it's like the one photo for years.
I love it.
That I have. And, yeah.
Thanks.
That's a photo from 2011.
That's sweet that you took that.
I don't, otherwise, 2011, I have no other, like, photos.
No, I had a blast going through your camera roll the other day. He just, like, let me get in there. Isn't that crazy?
You and I went to a bar, like, one night, and we were having martinis. And at some point, like, you just had my phone, and I think I gave it to you, and then you just started scrolling through all the photos, and
I asked. I said, can I go to the top
of your
camera?
Well, you're literally there. We're like looking at it together, and you're just scrolling through the photos, and you'd be asking.
I
don't scroll through my photos either. So like you were like, oh shit, the Ren Faire, and I was like, oh right, I went that year. Wow, and I'd be like, wow, that was that year that I went there, and it was like fun for me too because I don't look at that stuff.
What is something you've seen your friends do online that you could never do yourself?
Oh, God. I feel like every day. I feel like every day you guys do stuff that I can't do.
Like what? Say one.
You do this show. I feel like so many characters and just things. I don't. Every day.
But like, you know, we have people who do like mukbangs or like.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like,
if we want to talk about types of content.
Yeah. Like you, like God forbid we do a TikTok dance, you know.
I will say. Like, you know, Damien and so many people do streaming. You've done some streams.
A little bit, yourself. Yes.
And I think that's so impressive.
By yourself.
I know people, I've brought this up before, but people talk about like, oh, streaming, it's like so easy. And I'm like, yeah, anybody can get on camera and just stream themselves if you just sit there and do nothing. But to like do it well and to like really be entertaining and engaging with an audience
I don't think that's easy.
Live, especially you watch like Damien, I'm just like, dude, like he really like is caring and paying attention. I'm
and
like,
engaged, yeah.
That's hard. That's so hard. I was like, I cannot do that.
My next question is, do you have a burner account? But I feel like I already know the answer to this. You do not. I don't even think you have a Reddit account.
I do not have a Reddit account.
And you don't, like, so you never even
commented
on
there.
Stuff.
And the craziest thing is, for the longest time on Reddit, I didn't even have the app. I would just boot up Safari on my phone and just type in Reddit and just go
website.
I've never posted a comment on Reddit. And if I ever did, I would never tell anyone, but I haven't.
And I'm supposed to believe you?
Yeah.
Okay. What are your most used emojis?
I don't use emojis.
Go to your texts, and then if you hit emojis and then hit the time button,
okay,
you'll see a lot of the ones that you use a lot.
Frankly, the most used are just the ones that I used recently.
But like there's a bunch in there, so tell me some.
I've got the saluting one.
Okay, nice.
I've got the thumbs up. But I think those are the ones because you just click
on a
message.
I don't think if you badge one, it doesn't count.
It's got just kind of this.
Let me see. Can I see?
Yeah. It's kind of standard.
The ones that are further away. Okay, so we've got, whoa, who are you sending the black heart to?
I don't remember. I don't think I've ever used that.
You got the shrugging guy. That's you. There's a cartwheel in here.
Okay.
There's fingers crossed. I like how you have your, there's some of these are the gold and some of these are the whitest, palest
hand.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, just so they know. In case they're not sure.
Oh, in the balloon, and you got the...
I don't remember using some of these.
I know, you never use emojis.
I never use it. I probably used that like 5 years ago. And it's just like, hey man, this was recent.
Oh, he's done. God forbid he figures out a sticker. I'm sorry.
Stickers.
Not to be mean, but...
It doesn't have anything for open stickers.
Okay, no, he doesn't do this shit.
What are...
There's like a whole thing where you can like, if you press and hold a photo, you can create your sticker of your friend. Remember when we were at VidCon and we made that sticker of chance?
Yeah. Oh, that's how you do that. Sometimes it's just that I don't ask the question, right? It's not that I don't know how to do things. I just don't look into it.
And that's okay. Don't look into it.
I'm not like, there's so many things on the phone that I just don't, you know, like people found out that I'd never changed my phone background.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
And then I don't even change like people's photos in the thing. I only have one for you.
What is it? Which picture is it?
You know what it is.
I don't remember.
It's the think about wife.
Oh, yeah.
Gorilla.
The best video ever.
Think about wife.
Life good. Ride wife. Life good. Wife fight back. Kill wife. Okay, what was the last text to the group chat? Probably your group chat with Spencer and Trevor.
Which group chat?
What's the most
There's
recent
so
group
many.
Chat? You're
There's
in a lot of group
so
chats.
So many.
We do have all the cast in one group chat now. That's pretty sick.
Let's see. I mean, one is an address. So Spencer's just sending tweets. We had a big all hands meeting and one of us texted in the group, no 6-7 jokes in this whole damn meeting, man. What the fuck is even the point?
What even is the point?
No 6-7 jokes in this whole meeting. What even is the point?
What even is the point? What is Josh even about?
I won't say who said that. If
I know
it was me, Spencer.
It was Trevor.
Pretty funny. I think it's pretty funny.
What was the last thing you bought online?
I bought a Henley t-shirt. It fits a little tight.
A muscly guy's shirt's a little too tight. Oh no. What's
he
gonna do?
Can we talk to HR?
What's the most played song on your streaming app?
I'm really bad with music. So I have a hard time finding, like, I listen to songs like singles, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not, I try to listen to an album. I've listened to a couple albums this year.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you some of my favorites, but, I get like songs that hit and I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. Especially
yeah.
if I'm listening
like,
at the
what's
gym.
What's the repeat? Yeah.
And so I'll be repeating it a lot. So then my Spotify is just freaking weird.
What's one that you had on repeat?
I can say a few. Because it's all over the friggin' place, right? So weirdly, this past like month, suddenly I heard a Rob Thomas song recently, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, that fucking hits. So I've been listening to "Smooth" by Santana and Rob Thomas a lot.
Nice,
that
buddy.
That song rocks, bro. Nothing else sounds like that song.
Send it to me.
You've heard it. It's good.
I can't remember.
And then, but I'll be listening to that, and then I'll be listening to like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure theme song.
Nice.
Like, I'll be listening to Bloody Stream after that. And then I would say probably my favorite song of the year is Senses by Hemlock Springs. That song is awesome.
Hemlock Springs is so good.
That's probably my favorite album of the year. That album
that
hits.
That one hit.
It's so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can't you quit online?
Probably Reddit. I can't quit Am I the Asshole stuff.
Can't quit being an
asshole. And here's the thing. I do really enjoy reading those. And there's a lot of subreddits that we don't really touch on that I really enjoy. There's a lot of stories that aren't stories. You know, they're just like a quick vent or they're just like a topic. But, you know, I really enjoy that. It's really fun. And I've mentioned it a lot of like, maybe these are fake. I don't know. But I like the hypothetical situations. I'm very fascinated by human behavior and interaction.
I think that's why you're such a great host for that show. And I don't think it would have done as well and continued to thrive the way that it has without you as the host. I know that a lot of people can read well and help with a story, but like, I do think your interest in human beings and your empathy has made that show successful, because there's a lot of other shows that are like that.
Yeah.
And I listen to a lot of them, and you know, like, I love Two Hot Takes and stuff. I love Morgan and but like, there's a lot of ones where it's like, they don't do it like we do it. And I know like our producers, you know, Emily Bailey and Marcus, work really hard to like curate things that have like resolve or like a payoff. Yeah. And we're not always left like wondering more all the time. And
I think they're doing the hard work, right? Because it's so hard. They have to find and curate so many stories per week. It's why I'll say it. Like, I get a little frustrated when people are like, oh, this one's clearly fake. I'm just like, dude, our producers had to find like 50 stories in the past like week. And it's hard to find like good ones. Like, at a certain point, it's like some of these are, the quality is hard to keep up.
As someone who produced and directed some, like, it is hard. And
it's
like,
really
I even would go like, cause you not only get the story, you need to get all the information, all the context, the dates, the comments that overall tell the situation or a funny anecdote. And also like, I would go in and try and like make it readable for you. Cause sometimes there's so many run on sentences that like, it's just, and it's, and then also just wanted to be entertaining and good.
Right.
I was like permanently damaged from the scary episode.
You did a scary episode.
I actually had to stop.
Cause the ones you're picking are scary. But you have to go through some truly haunting shit.
Or even just the title will wreck your month.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn, people are going through it on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I also, like, that is the hard work. But also, it is not easy for you. Like you said, you're giving your opinion, your take, your reaction in real time. But you're also trying to do it in an emotionally intelligent way while also juggling two performers with you.
Right.
You deserve kudos for that.
Thanks.
Shane Top, what's the worst excuse you've texted to someone to avoid going out?
I think my excuses are usually the same, and I'm trying to get better about it. It's just like, oh, like something came up, or oh, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to make it. I've gotten more like vague over the years. I'm just like, oh, I'm not able to make it, which is true. Because I'm just like, oh, I don't want to. Like, I'm not able to. I don't have the energy. I'll never forget. It was Matthew Scott Montgomery from So Random. It was back when Damien and I and Matthew Scott were hanging out one time at work. We were gonna go to a movie afterwards, and we were like, "Oh, Matthew Scott, do you wanna join?" And he just goes, "No." He's like, "I'm gonna go home and hang out in my underwear." And we were all just like, "Yeah," like, and I really learned from that, and I really try
ahead of his time, truly,
to be honest, to just be honest of like, especially nowadays where we know, like, man, we're inundated all day long, we're all socially exhausted, of just like, hey, no, I don't want to hang out. But that's not because I don't want to hang out with you, because I'm not entertained by you. It's, no, I really just want to chill at home. That sounds fun. And there's reasons. Like, there's a balance, for sure. Right? I think it's easy for me to delve too much into that.
Yeah, me and a friend recently came up with, like, this very chill pact. We were like, okay, I'm going to text you and invite you to things, or you can text me to invite me to things. And if 9 times out of 10 you say no, that is okay. I'm going to still keep inviting
Absolutely.
You to things. And so that's our little
Absolutely.
Pact.
It's why I always try to be like, oh, thank you. Like, I feel so
Thanks
bad.
For considering
I feel so
me
guilty.
Inviting me still,
like,
yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for inviting me. Or I try to be like, oh, but maybe like we can set something up soon or something.
Because we try to be social. We definitely
try. I do. It's the thing. This job is so fun and so easy, but it's socially draining. So when I get out of it, I'm like, my job is to play board games and hang out and talk with people all day. I'm like, okay, I kind of want to go home and just be quiet for a bit
sometimes.
Go home, be quiet.
Can we see the last selfie you took, Shint?
I don't take selfies.
I know you don't. It's always a bit whenever you take a selfie.
I do not take selfies. I don't know if I have.
I think the last, I took a photo of you with Chance. What?
The last photo we have.
Oh, God.
It's, I feel like I want to post this though at some point, but it's this one.
Oh yeah, that's some funny shit. No, we can't share that right now. I'm sorry.
We gotta
sorry,
save
guys.
That.
You
we
need
gotta
to post that, Shane.
Save that.
You better post that soon, Shane. Because you know what pisses me off, Shane?
What?
You will have some good shit to post, and then you will have waited too long, and then you won't post it because you're like, but it was so long ago. And then that funny shit is gone.
Okay, I have actually a cool selfie here that I should post. Bones was like chilling, like he was on my arm, but he was like very okay. comfortable. And I had him like up here. And so like he was just really high up hanging out. And he's
go
like comfortable
in.
There.
He does look comfortable there. He looks yeah. like a parrot there. You know,
I was kind of holding my cat like a parrot. And he was just vibing. And so I was like, I gotta take it. Most
That's
of
a
my
good
photos,
one.
Most of the time that I feel like taking photos is usually the cats.
Yeah, our cats are
like,
doing funny
I'll be
stuff.
Like, Birdie, the lighting's really good right now. Let me get a photo. I'll be like, hey, it's golden hour, Bones. Nice.
How many unread texts do you have?
Not many. The only unread texts I have are the ones that were sent during this video. But I read. I'm pretty good with text.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I'm
about
actually
you.
Really good with text, and I've gotten really good with emails. I used to be back when we were first working together, back at like Defy. I was the type that had like 10,000 emails. It was all spam that I wasn't,
right.
but important emails would get lost in the mix, and I was really bad about it. I've gotten that shit on lock.
I'm proud of you.
I am
ready.
All done.
What's your bedtime phone routine?
I think it can be bad where I can fall into TikTok, but. You can testify to this. I've gotten a lot, like I try on an optimum night, I would plug in my phone, put it on my bed rest and be like, I'm done at a certain time, like in the 30 minutes or an hour before I'm going to bed and I'm going to read. And that's optimally what I'm trying to do.
It's better for your
reading
brain.
Before I go to bed is the best. And it makes me so sleepy. I usually like, I love reading. I'll read a lot. Before bedtime, I'm maximum reading for like 5 minutes because it just knocks me out.
That's a boring ass book.
No,
sounds like
it can be
Shane.
so good. It's just it just makes you so tired.
Yeah, I know. I get. Did you have fun on my show?
I had a great time on your show. I want to just keep doing this.
No, you can't.
Oh shit.
Well, thank you for being my guest. Thanks for sharing your internet life with us. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about you. I didn't think I forget how many things we don't get to talk about yet because I've known you for 11 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's pretty wild.
And we be yapping.
I feel like our conversations off camera are so different from our conversations on camera.
Yeah, we talk about like philosophy and like life and
yeah,
the
we're
galaxy.
Talking about like fucking.
We're so smart and we talk about so many smart
yeah,
things.
Yeah, just like stuff, dude.
Or just like how annoying the cats are being.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Sometimes your cats are annoying and that's okay. And we love them for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Shane Topp, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I hope you enjoyed. I think you are allowed online.
What?
I think it's important you're allowed online.
Ugh.
I know. But just because of your existence online, because that's kind of the thing with the show. It's not just that you can't go online anymore. It's like you don't get to be there.
You don't get to be there. You hold your family around each other, be there.
So.
Okay.
I think it's the right move.
I'll stay online.
Especially when you're one of the top podcasts on YouTube.
Just me and Tucker Carlson. Just me, Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens.
Oh.
Just hanging out. Joe Rogan.
Ah,
it's a crazy top 10.
Well, I am proud of you, and it's great to see you on this lovely couch.
It's a very comfy couch.
It's a great time. I love that we're in the new set. We're back at it. We're doing things. I'm excited to see what else you continue to do. I know some crazy stuff is on the horizon.
Absolutely. This is the first podcast that I've been involved in at this new space.
Can
I've not
you
shot
believe
Smosh
it?
Mouth or Reddit stories here yet.
Wow.
I know.
Christened Shane Topp.
That's right.
This guy has a fucking crush on me. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Thanks for hanging out with us. And hope you leave the internet feeling better than when you opened it today. Love you. Bye.